It's good to see you tonight. Thanks for coming along. First Wednesday evening service of the new year, and always look forward to Wednesday night, and I'm glad that you're out tonight. Looking forward to time of prayer. And we're gonna get started for the year in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And if you haven't received a prayer bulletin, there are some at the back there. So grab one tonight. And you know, one of the things that I just asked the staff to include on our prayer bulletins is just a prayer for our church family. And I think it's really important through the course of the year that we are in the habit of that, that we do take our time to look at the list. And what we're going to find is you're going to see some on that list that you're going to see most weeks. You're going to see on a Sunday morning, you're going to see on a Sunday night, maybe even here tonight on a Wednesday evening. And everyone on that list will be a little varied. Some who are regular in just coming along, some who just come once in a while. And then there's might be even some that you haven't seen for a little while. And I wanna encourage you to just continue to pray for them. And we want to continue to just ask the Lord and intercede on their behalf about just what the Lord will do in their lives. And you know, the course of my life, there's been many occasions where I've sort of looked around and recognized and realized that people go through a journey sometimes where they're not where they were before. There's some who maybe for a long time even labored beside us in the work of the ministry. It was many years ago, I was part of a youth camp and we had organized it as we normally do. And it was a strange one. It seemed like there was a whole heap of people who normally come and help at a youth camp. They couldn't make it that year. So we had a whole new group of people leading the games. We had a whole heap of new leaders. We had a whole heap of others. And the reality was the church was going through a little bit of a renewal. There was a whole host of people that actually we used to labor with that weren't there anymore. And on the last evening, I was given the task. I was closing the camp meeting and I was preaching the last message. And honestly, I struggled through the week because I had to take on different roles that we thought we had passed on, but I was taking them on again. And I wanted to put together a little bit of a montage. We usually finish the camp with a highlight video of the week, but this time I realized that it was our 20th year hosting youth camp, and so I wanted to put together a little bit of a montage of all of the youth camps put together. And so I thought this would be fun. You know, you could see all of the different memories and everyone's going to laugh at it. And we put it together, and after about 2 or 3 minutes into that video, we started to realize there was a whole bunch of those people that were on those videos that no longer were even following the Lord anymore. We started to realize that there were some that had completely walked away. And what happened was, instead of this being a real fun video to watch, it became sobering. It hit us that actually if we weren't to guard ourselves and if we weren't to guard one another in the things of God, it could so easily become maybe even us. And I'll tell you what, I didn't really need to preach that night. I preached a 5-minute message, and to this day, my wife tells me it was the best message I'd ever preached. And actually, it was probably because it was only 5 minutes, right? But it was an impactful night because that night, many people came forward and made just some decisions to really just renew their passion and their love for God. And if we're not careful, we understand that there's different reasons why people walk away from the Lord. We can observe here in our example in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Notice a couple of verses about probably the first one. If you were to think about one who left the fold, it would be this one. Look at verse 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Remember that this is a letter again from Paul, who was the apostle to the Gentiles, someone who God had greatly used to reach many and to start churches. And he's writing this to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he's saying to him, come to me shortly. And notice why he says in verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. In verse 11, only Luke is with me. And then notice this instruction, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And I love reading through the letters of Paul, because in the letters of Paul, there's various names that he mentions, and each name has a story. And what we find in the first place here is he refers to Demas. Demas, who actually, if you study through the rest of Scripture, both in the book of Philemon and in the letter to the Colossians, he was named as a fellow laborer. He wasn't just any random that was named Demas who they just sort of wrote about and sort of wrote that he wasn't there with them. No, this was a fella who had been with them on journeys. He had walked with them. He had gone to, obviously, he had known the whole situation with Philemon. He had known the situation in Colossians and some of the happenings of how the churches started over there. And he was a fellow laborer. The Bible uses that term several times to really indicate to us that these people who were fellow laborers were people who were committed, people who were faithful, people who you had no question in your mind whether they'd continue. But then the reality of it was this: Demas, the Bible says, hath forsaken. And you know, I look around, it's a Wednesday night, and no doubt, you know, I look out, and usually in a church setting like ours, you would say the Wednesday night, that's the faithful crowd, they come to that extra service through the course of the week. And we could easily take it for granted tonight that we would just be back here every Wednesday and we would be back here for the next service. But the reality is, if we don't guard our hearts, we're just as human as Demas is. And if we don't put in place just certain things that guard our hearts from being drawn away, then it could just be that we fall into a place where we don't want to be. We never imagined to be. We could be in a place where we're away from what we know to be truth and what we know to be right. And what we find, firstly, is the situation that we read about. He's saying to Paul, saying here, describing just the need to Timothy of the ministry. He's saying in verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You know, some would argue that perhaps this was just a little excursion into Thessalonica. He does name others here: Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. But the word of God isolates for us Demas, who hath forsaken. You know, the others, they went for different reasons. There was a need perhaps in Crescens. There was a need perhaps in Dalmatia. But for Demas, he went for this reason: he loved this present world. That word forsaken means to abandon. And what we find the Bible describing here is that Demas had abandoned his post. Demas had abandoned what he knew to be right, and what he knew was his perhaps even his calling, perhaps even his passion, perhaps even his place of service. And we find Demas hath forsaken. He had abandoned his post. Why? Having loved this present world. You know, there's many, many that perhaps we could think about in even in our own lifetime who, because of the draw of this world, because of what promises it presents, because of the allure of perceived success and riches perhaps, or satisfaction or comfort, they've chosen to forsake their calling, to forsake even bearing their cross for Christ, to go and find their lot in this world. We can immediately think of the parable of the prodigal. The prodigal who had an inheritance from his father, but he wanted to take it, and there the Bible says wasted it in riotous living in the far country. And we perhaps can think of some who used to and who were present and who did, just like many of us, grew up perhaps in the church and had a conversion and named the same passages of scripture that we can name in regard to certain promises and certain assurances and certain principles, and they heard the same messages, and yet they find themselves, and we find them out. We find them elsewhere. And the situation was, firstly, that there was a need that was highlighted. And the need was this: someone had to come. Timothy, you need to come because we're down a man. We're down someone who had chosen to go elsewhere. And there was this need highlighted. And I wonder how many could be fulfilling a place right now who isn't, who someone else has had to step into their place. You know, I think about my upbringing in the church, and I was describing this to someone this week, just talking a little bit about my history. And, you know, there was a situation in the church that I grew up in that many people who I looked up to, because of their reasons, left. Because of their choices, they decided that something else was going to be better, and they left the church. And suddenly I was the youngest in the youth group, suddenly finding myself at 14 having to step up and be one of the leaders of our youth group. And I look at that, and to me, I was a stopgap. To me, I didn't have first rights to that. There were others who were already doing it. But there was a need highlighted, and there was others that had to step up. And we understand that God can use that. We understand that in all of it, there needs to be a heart for us to then step in and continue to meet the breach and all of that. But the sad reality is there was a need because there was a place that was vacated. There was someone else. There was Demas who should have been there. A gap had formed, this hedge that they had formed as a team, this group that had really in many ways turned that area of the world upside down for the cause of Christ, for the gospel. They were with the Apostle Paul, who God uses to write these scriptures for us, to tell to us the happenings of the early church, the very scriptures that we read tonight. And there they find that there's a gap had been formed. And you know, many, many places, not just in a church setting, maybe even in a home, maybe even in a marriage, there's a gap formed because someone decided that this present world was something to walk after. And a gap had been formed. Not only that, did we see that a companion was missed. You know, it wasn't just, the journey of the Christian life isn't just some sort of transactional thing. You know, you're not just in a position. You know, when I sit in the office there with the staff members, I don't look at them as employees. No, we're partners in the gospel. We've sat together. We've wept over things. We've shared our heart. We've shared our frustrations. We've shared some moments of desperate need. I think of those of you who have labored for a long time here, and you've formed right good relationships. And you know, as well as I do, the heartbreak of a companion missed. Someone you used to be with. Someone that used to sing along with you. Someone that used to do that. And there's a human element of that, of just that you miss that person. You wonder how it would be still. And navigating through that and recognizing just the reality of it. And what we find then, fourthly, is really in this situation, there's a mentor disappointed. You know, Paul had invested so much, no doubt, in Demas. You know, you are called, those of us who really, as believers, we're called to commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also, right? We're supposed to pass on the faith. We're supposed to take the time and sit with someone, and maybe they're new, and maybe they're newly saved, and you start to sit with them, and for a little while, they're like a little baby. They just need everything. They need to be spoon-fed. They need to be bottle-fed with the milk of the Word. You start to then sit with them, and you have those awkward moments. They don't even know how to pray. How do I pray? And they don't even know what to say. And then you sit with them, and they start to know how to pray, to know how to be as a Christian, and you start to see them grow, and all your hopes are that they would move forward, that they would grow and mature in the faith, and then they're walking away. And the heartache of that. A mentor disappointed. Someone who had been there with him, someone who had journeyed through the ups and downs, and here Demas, in the situation that we read about in Scripture, he had forsaken, he had abandoned. The Bible says he had abandoned me. There was a personal hurt here. And the reason was that he loved this present world. And we see that the selection, secondly, that Demas made. Notice what the Bible uses, the word that the Bible uses. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Thessalonica was a major city. Thessalonica was a place that had all of the trappings of that modern world that they lived in. That's the representation of the present world that we're speaking about here. And he looked at Thessalonica and he loved it more, is what the Bible's saying. Loved, it's a choice of one over the other. Right? You love one, which means you cannot love the other. And so for Demas, the selection was a love of this over a love of that. And I think about, again, the shores of Galilee where Jesus arrives, and at first the group that he knew so well didn't recognize it was him. Then eventually they realize it was Jesus. He says to them, "Children, have you any meat?" Peter runs to him. He girds himself up because he was dressed as a fisherman. And he comes in, and remember the question that Jesus asks, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And Peter had come to a place of discouragement. Peter had come to a place of maybe even retreating back to his comfort zone of fishing. Peter had retreated back to just that assembly of men that he knew and was comfortable with. And yet Jesus was still trying to get him to think about what does he love more. And that was really the crux of Demas' selection. He made a decision that he loved one thing over the other. And Thessalonica was this present world. And really what it was, firstly, it was a revealing of his true passions. It revealed what he truly was passionate about. It revealed that if he had the choice, and he did make the choice, that he was going to choose one over the other. That he was actually more passionate about this present world than the future world, the eternal world. And so often that's really the decision point for each and every one of us. We can look at this present world and we can look at all of its trappings and all of its offerings and all of the empty actual promises that it makes. And we could, if we're not careful, not guard our hearts, and we better just see where our passion truly lies. How's your passion for Christ? How's your passion for his work? How's your passion for the things of his? And this world will tell you all it will tell you. And I'm saying to you that it reveals really when you choose what your true passions are. Secondly, it was also a reversal of direction. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that prior to salvation that we were going the certain direction and we were going the direction of the world. But after salvation, guess what? We're supposed to shun that. And we're supposed to go the direction for Christ. We're supposed to go a certain way. We're supposed to go a certain direction. And I often tell our young people when they're asking the question about how do I find the will of God, listen, the will of God isn't so much a destination, it's a direction. It's a way that you take. It's a path that you will follow. And along the way, you will have some destinations to take. But listen, too often, we're not worried about the direction that our heart takes. And what happened with Demas in his selection was he chose to go the other way. It was a reversal of direction. But then it was really this, he got to a place where he was comparing both. And it was also a relative comparison. He was saying, well, this is the life I've lived for God right now, but I'm seeing opportunities over there, and I'm trying to weigh it up. And listen, you better be careful when you start to weigh up the world and the Lord. You better be careful where you're going with that. You better be careful when you're already at that hinge point in your life. And I want to tell you that is a pivotal moment, and you better snap out of it. And you better wake up to my heart growing cold to God. Because Demas, it was just a quick decision as he weighed it all up. And listen, it's a relative comparison. And I want to tell you that it's a reality today. There's some who will sit here maybe even tonight. There's some who will sit here on a Sunday morning. There's some who will sit here on a Sunday night. There's some who on the Friday nights, once we start our impact ministries, they'll sit there on a Friday night, and they'll sit there in a Friday night, and there's a pivotal moments all the time, and we better be sensitive to our own heart, but we better be aware of that also. You know, we better be aware that if it's not happening in here, it could be happening in there. It could be happening in someone else's heart, and we better take a seat next to them perhaps and say, hey, listen, how are you doing? How's things today? Hey, is there anything I could pray for you about? Is there anything I could encourage you about? You know, I spoke this past Sunday about my friend who tragically died abseiling. He had abseiled that same place hundreds of times. And he's a youth pastor, faithful guy in the church, had been a youth pastor for over nearly, I think, over 20 years. And you know what I appreciated about him? He was a true friend. You know, it's often when I go to different places to attend a conference, you know, if he was there, he was just the first guy to always come up to me and say, hey, it's great to see you. Hey, it's great that you're here. And you know, we were both in the same calling. We both had been an associate. He was looking at a pastorate, and tragically, he died on the 3rd of January. It was his last day, but you know what? He made it count. He made his life count. He encouraged others. That was his life. The amount of young adults in that church who stayed because of this one man's encouragement. And listen, there's a reality today. And sometimes we can be a little bit blasé in entering into a congregation. We assume that we have a strong church, and we assume that everything in someone's life is going okay, but actually, it might be your appointment today to sit with someone who's at that precipice right now. They're at that hinge point. And they're comparing. And we better get good at even observing even our young ones. Looking around and seeing their demeanor. And not that we're investigating. No. The reason is because we care. And someone had to come alongside Demas perhaps, and yet Demas still chose, and there was a selection. But then lastly, look at the salutation in verse 11, and notice what he says, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And that's an interesting thing. You know, what you're going to observe is there are those that will be like Luke. You know, in verse 11, Paul takes note, only Luke is with me. You know, there'll be those who'll just stay the course. You know, when you read about Luke, the beloved physician, Luke just went everywhere with Paul. Luke was faithful, and Luke just stayed. And here's what I'm saying, there's some Lukes in your life even tonight. Who they're just there. and you can count on them. And here's what I'm saying, don't take that for granted. Because at one time, Demas was that too. At one time, Demas would have been in the same position as Luke. In fact, when you read about him, I believe in Colossians, it was Luke and Demas are with me. So it was a time when Demas was there, right there too, right along Luke. Listen, don't take that for granted. Hey, you know, sometimes we can grow a little bit familiar with each other without just stopping in and just reinforcing a good thing. Without coming alongside a person and say, hey, I'm so glad. I always love seeing you. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm so glad when I come to next week, I know you're going to be here. And we need to enforce that. Some of us need to just get back to a little bit of being purposeful in our encouragement, because Luke is a blessing. Luke is with me. And we can't take that for granted. Sometimes we've been in a place for a little while. We can take for granted those who are just part of the furniture. Those who you know will be there. And when was the last time you gave an encouraging word? When was the last time you just sat next to someone who you just know they're going to be there? And they're there again. When was the last time you just said, hey, great to see you? And we reinforce a good thing. You know, what you honor is what you get. And too many times we just take it for granted. But I'm glad for the Lukes. I'm glad for those who will stay. And I think that there ought to be just times in our lives where we recognize them and we recognize their part in our lives. And we don't just take it for granted that they'll just always be there, because you never know. You don't know. And we better do our bit. And Luke was with me. There's the Demases, there are those who will fall. And I'll tell you that here's what we need to do. We need to continue to pray for them. And we need to learn from them. We need to learn that perhaps we could have made a difference. We need to learn that perhaps those who we don't think are likely are the most likely. That we need to learn that our part in that is to just come alongside those that maybe were a little fearful, are relatively comparing those things that are out there. And we better speak up in those moments, and we better speak to their lives, and we better just come beside them, and we better learn that we ought not to just take for granted those that we think will always be there. Because Lukes can quickly turn into Demases. But here's the good part. Notice the third name, Mark. You know, Mark, if you just read this isolated, just think Mark is just profitable for the ministry. But Acts chapter 15. And notice verse 36. So earlier on in Acts chapter 12, Paul and Barnabas comes back on their first missionary venture, and they're going to go to the second one, and they take Mark with them. But here they've come to a place and they're about to embark further, and notice verse 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And notice what the Bible says in verse 37, Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. So that's the same Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them. Who was it? Mark. Who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. There was a time where Mark turned his back. And evidently now he had come back, and notice the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. There was a split between Paul and Barnabas, this great missionary partnership over this person, who actually in Paul's mind was debatable. Why? Because at one point, Mark walked away too. At one point, Mark thought it'd be better for him to go elsewhere. And we don't know the reasons, but there was a walking away. And here's the point I want to make. Because later on, the very same Paul who said he's not good, notice what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. He says, only Luke is with me. And then he says, Timothy, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You know what? We read between the lines there. He says, for he is now profitable to me. And here's the point I want to make. You know, we might have Lukes in our lives, and let's not take them for granted. We might have some Demases who just walked away. But listen, there's some Marks too who can come back. And listen, here's my exhortation to you tonight. Let's keep praying and let's keep encouraging, because God can bring them back. Because now Mark is profitable. Because now Mark has been restored. Because now Mark, who, by the way, whose name should ring somewhat familiar to you, wrote the book of Mark. And aren't you glad that Paul changed his mind? That Paul, stubborn Paul, who God used, changed his mind about Mark. Mark who had come back. Mark who for a time went away but came back. You know, we've been in Sydney this past week, and you know, we were catching up with people and all of that. And I was so glad one of the catch-ups we had was a group of young people that we loved and ministered with. And when I took the pastorate over there, they were nowhere to be found. And I remember chasing those boys. I had tried to catch up with them. I had tried to meet with them. I had tried to chase them. And nothing happened. You know, they were young people that grew up in the church. They just, nothing happened. And, you know, I sat with one of the men there, and I said, how's things been going? And they said, you know, who's back? This person's back. They said, this person's back. And that person's back. You know what I said? Really? Now? No, listen. I rejoiced. Why? Because God brought them back. And listen, some of us here tonight, we can focus on Demas. We can go, well, what's happened? But listen, don't you think God can bring them back? There's some you've stopped praying for that you need to pray for again. There's some here that you need to continue to pray for. There's some here that you need to appreciate more. There's some that are Demas, but maybe they're going to be Mark one day. And you just don't know, but God can. And let's continue to pray. Let's continue to encourage. And let's continue to believe that God, who knows each one of us, can just bring them back to profitability. Because that's what it was. It wasn't just he came back. He came back profitable. And I want to encourage you. Maybe you've got one in your home. Maybe you've got one that you just, they're the greatest burden in your heart. Keep that burden. Keep seeking, because God can bring them back. And God can make them profitable again. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for our time tonight. And Lord, I appreciate, dear God, that, Lord, you know more than us. And Father, in our humanity, in our hurts and disappointments, and Lord, in our failure to see beyond even our day-to-day, Lord, we don't know what the future holds. But we know this, you know whose are yours. And you know, dear God, what it's going to take to draw them back. And Father, we just commit to you, Lord. Lord, even names that are on our hearts, even tonight. And ask, dear God, that you'd help us to have the faith to just believe that you're able. Father, if there's anyone here who, Lord, perhaps is Demas, they're just in that place of weighing up things. And I pray, dear God, that you would just speak to their hearts. Help them, Lord, to know that they're loved and that they belong, and that, Father, you have a great plan for them, that they need to stick to you, dear Lord. I pray for our Lukes, dear God, those who are here, those who are faithful, dear Lord, encourage their hearts. I pray that, Lord, help us to just appreciate, Lord, all the faithfulness that each other shows. And I pray, dear Lord, that you'd help us to just look into the year, continuing to pray, continuing to seek after you. Even as we read names out to you, dear God, I pray that you'd help us to have a heart filled with faith, knowing that you're able to continue to work in lives. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name.